Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. Glad you could join us. I'm Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and today we are continuing our conversation with Michael Wilder, the father of Micah Wilder of Adams Road Band. And as we've mentioned in the past, Adams Road Band is a group of guys that are former Mormons. Four of them are former Mormon missionaries. And of course, Micah Wilder has quite a story as far as how he came to disbelieve a lot of the teachings of the LDS Church, primarily because a Baptist pastor challenged Micah to actually read the Bible, to set aside as much as possible, I guess, his Mormon biases and just read the Bible like a child. And of course, that just had a profound effect on him. We've talked about now how Micah has been sent home early off of his mission, and kind of dispelling some rumors yesterday about Michael and Lynn, the rumor that they may have left the Mormon church mainly because of how Micah was treated or what Micah went through.
And right, of course, right.
And of course, that's not the reason. It's actually taken several months now, and you're kind of mulling all this over. And now you're reading the Bible, kind of like your son was doing, and you're kind of going through the same process. And now several months have gone by, and now you're starting to have some real serious questions. So take it up from there, Michael.
Well, you know, it's been over 6 months since Micah was released. And, you know, Lynn and I get a new calling that fall in August or September to become a temple committee chair people. So we're active, involved. I'm going to the temple and getting groups together and so forth. But I really get into this campaign of studying the Bible like I've never studied before. And I'm just kind of looking at it, just reading it, you know. In other words, it's not like I'm trying to find any particular thing, but I happen to be reading through Luke, and I've read this many times. And maybe it's because I was temple committee chairperson, and you know, as you know, you're trying to get people motivated to get to a temple, recommend, you know, groups going to the temple and so forth. And I happen to be reading in Luke chapter 18, and Christ gives us this parable, and he talks about, you know, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a publican. So, you know, this is catching my temple. Yes, okay, we have one person that's a temple recommend holder, and another one maybe a temple recommend holder. We don't know. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to feel, many years ago, I gave a talk when I was a high counselor called about, I actually named my talk Spiritual Arrogance in the LDS Church, how, you know, sometimes we were too arrogant when we were talking with other Christians. Yeah. And that kind of came coming back to me. It says, as a high priest, you know, am I better than other people? You know, we're temple recommend holding a family, my wife and I, you know, are we better than the people who don't hold the temple? And I'm just kind of running this through my mind. And he goes on and he says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And when you really start going back to the law, this person is actually improving on the commandments given to the Jews at that point, because at that point, the Jews were only commanded to fast once a year, if I recall correctly. And he's saying, well, I'm more righteous than that. I don't have to just fast once a year. I'm going to fast twice a week. And also under the Jewish law, that there were only certain things they paid tithing on. So he was going to be really righteous, and he paid tithing on, I give tithes of all that I possess, not just part of it. So again, it's upping God's law. God, you need to raise your standards higher here, you know, because I'm putting myself above what you recommend. So, you know, these are kind of going in my ahead here. And then I go on and it says, and the publican standing afar off, you know, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you start thinking of, wow, you know, we're all sinners. I mean, it's just, you know, you read, you know, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. and, you know, Christ starts teaching us what the law really is. Mm-hmm. You know, we're given the Ten Commandments, and you start thinking about that, and I really came and followed the Ten Commandments properly. You know, I'm breaking down, so yeah, I'm a sinner. I start thinking of, you know, Romans 3, you know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, mm-hmm. But being justified freely by Jesus Christ. And so, you know, these verses are starting to ring back because, you know, I've been reading the Bible, I've been reading Luke, I've been reading Romans, and so forth. And then Christ says, and I tell you, this man who went down to the house justified rather than the other one. What do you mean? Here's the guy who's doing all the right things, and here's the other guy saying, I can't do it. I'm a sinner, you know, and I'm not boasting. And, you know, Christ says, anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, mm-hmm. and any person who humbles himself will be exalted. And I, you know, and it just really hit me hard. You know, I started thinking of all the conference meetings, you know, talks by general authorities. I have never, ever heard a general authority say, I'm a sinner.
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying, because, you know, I've listened to many conference talks, and you're right.
And, you know, that I fall short of the glory of God. And, you know, I started looking at myself and say, you know, I was made a high priest when I think I was 36. I held all these leadership positions. And it started, you know, it started breaking down, like, well, what is good and what is bad? And in God's eyes, we're all bad. You know, we're all sinners, and we can't help it because, you know, we have fallen into sin, and we can't do it ourselves. And I started looking at, you know, I've got to surrender everything to Christ. So here we have this process now, you know, not all at once. I didn't read that and go, aha, I'm a born-again Christian, I'm out of here.
Right.
But God, you know, pierces your heart, at least me, slowly. And it was other events and other doctrines that I studied in the LDS Church that, you know, this started it. And then there was many other things, you know, reading through Galatians. I would really encourage any LDS person, sit down and truly read Galatians, you know, especially chapter 2. Well, chapter 1, you know, if an angel, you know, it comes down and gives you another gospel. Well, we do have another gospel. We don't have the same gospel as it's in the Bible. But, you know, when Paul talks to them, he says, you know, that you are not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And I remember works of the law, I'm thinking temple, because it's what my calling was at that point. So I'm going to the temple and I'm doing these so-called works. Are they justifying me before God? You know, I know it was started piercing my height, my eyes and my mind and my heart that says, no, these works are not justifying me before God. You know, if you do these things and you say you're not being justified, then the LDS Church needs to say that this doesn't save you. It's a nice thing to do. But when you start saying that these things save you, so you can be justified when you stand before God.
I'm just curious, Michael, did you ever hear in all the years that you were in the Mormon Church a sermon dealing with that very subject that you just read out of Luke? And if so, how did they interpret it?
I don't think I ever heard a sermon about that parable. Yeah. I do not recall, and doesn't mean there's not one out there. And who knows how they would interpret it. You know, you could go to the Joseph Smith translation, and it's probably a different story.
Well, good chance it could be the same too.
Yeah, so yeah, you just never know. But but again, that was unique for me. And again, I had read that story many times over the years, didn't affect me. Mm-hmm. But this time, it started affecting me.
Okay.
That it's, you know, my works really did not count for anything.
And you're seeing this conflict, no doubt, because that is certainly the emphasis that is often heard in a Mormon chapel service or even in general conference. I mean, general conference, when you listen to it, the theme is usually the same: do your best and do better. You know, and it's just a horrible browbeating, I think it is, you know. And certainly we as sinners need a browbeating every once in a while, but good grief.
Right.
And it's all the time, and you never seem to be doing good enough. That has to weigh on an individual Latter-day Saint very heavily.
I think it does. I know that, again, you know, for myself, I mean, I thought as a rule that our family was you know, doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And that I was, by definition, a pretty righteous person.
Yeah.
Instead, until God started piercing me.
Right.
And said, wait a second. Wait a sec, Brother Wilder. How righteous are you? What have you done today to be worthy to be saved?
Mm.
You know, how holy am I?
Mm.
And you start thinking, well, you know, he's pretty holy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm starting to look at him as a bigger God than the God of Mormonism.
Yeah.
And that starts opening up your eyes, too.
Wow. Jeez. You know, that's the one thing that I found, too, that when you start really recognizing who God is in his holiness and you start looking at yourself in your sinfulness, you certainly see this huge chasm between us, which all the more makes us as Christians appreciate what Christ did on our behalf to come and die for us. And
right.
Certainly we were not worthy of that great price that he paid for us, but it's incredible.
It's like I know it's like the analogy of grace of working away. Let's say that Bill Gates gives a $300 million to this charity to start to help the poor, and you know, $300 billion. And you give one penny,
mm-hmm.
and you're standing there with Bill Gates with your arms around him and says, you know, we've done this together.
Right.
That penny's immaterial. And when we try to do our work, it's immaterial.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to do good works. We don't live for sin, as Paul stated.
But
our works will not save us. And once you get that understanding, you cannot be a Latter-day Saint.
Changes your life completely, and you have to make that decision. So, hey, Michael, I'm glad you could be with me, and I enjoyed this conversation immensely. Adams Road Band.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.